So if you are watching, the gentleman to my left, Joe Giglio, nice purple plaid shirt. You're going to go chop wood?
Potentially. Pick some apples. That time of the year.
You have a favorite apple?
I do. Cripps Pink.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Cripps Pink, Pink Lady, like Sweet Tart, Sweet Tango. Go check out a Sweet Tango apple.
Yes.
This program probably knows more about apples than any other radio program in the Southeast. All right, Joe Giglio, I need to be convinced. I've been asking people to do this, and nobody's convincing me of this. I need to be convinced that NC State can go to Syracuse and show enough offensive creativity to make their offense. I don't think Syracuse is great, but just to make their offense produce 21 points.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
I would say to you two things. Styles make fights. Dave Doran has his best record against any team not named Pittsburgh against Syracuse. He's 7-2 against Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Against Syracuse in his career. That's because of the way Syracuse plays, the way that State plays.
Okay.
State's defense going to be good against the run.
Oh, yeah.
Syracuse is mostly a team, other than the one year with Eric Dungy, that wants to run.
Yeah, they throw it a little bit better than I thought they would this year. It's not all Sean Tucker.
So that's number one.
Right.
Number two, Tim Beck, who I've often been critical of, NC State's mm-hmm. offensive coordinator. His best work was actually in 2020 in the pandemic when Devin Leary got hurt mm-hmm. and was out for the year. And
right.
Bailey Hockman was then the quarterback, and he did a lot of different things with Bailey, including a little loop-de-loop throwback to Bailey that went for a touchdown against Miami,
sure.
which was a memorable moment in the Tim Beck catalog. So I honestly think his best work was in 2020 without Devin Leary. That was the most creativity that they showed. And, you know, I think Jack Chambers is a guy last year at Charleston Southern, the conference player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not talking about somebody here who, you know, he's 25 years old. You're not talking about somebody who's going to shrink in the spotlight. I wouldn't be surprised if MJ Morris, you know, their quarterback
right.
in the future, gets a series or two, gets some reps or two, if he's ready. If
mm-hmm.
he's ready for it, I think you'll see him out there. So I think there are some good things there. The way that they did their run blocking in the second half of that game, NC State's offensive line is a problem. It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
They were terrible in the first half against Florida State. Straight up turnstiles, just
yeah.
bad. And give them some credit in the second half, the way that they played, but I also think it does help to have that mobile quarterback help them out.
Yeah, you know, that's the interesting thing about their offense. I mean, they haven't had it really in the last few years. I mean, who was the quarterback as Bailey Hockman was before Devin Leary mm-hmm. became the quarterback? Was it Ryan Finley basically to what we have now?
Well, we had the mishmash of 19.
Right.
Which, yeah. Matt McKay
five and different quarterbacks.
And Leary.
So, I mean, it's been since Jacoby Brissett was here, since there was more mobility. And Brissett was not necessarily a great, you know, elusive runner. He's just physical.
He had moments.
Just big. But it certainly, I think we're learning this with Clemson, is that it changes the game when your quarterback is a legit threat. Because for a year and a half, and because I'm using part of this year, DJ really was a terrible runner. They were coming from Trevor Lawrence, who was an elite running quarterback on top of everything else he did.
Sure.
People forget just how dangerous he was when he decided to keep the ball on a read option. He was just awesome at it, and he was smart about it. That they forget that when that element goes, then you're basically left with just a normal offense. And it's that you need more than that in college. So that State hasn't had that. But I thought Jack Chambers was supposed to be a thrower. They didn't even let him throw.
I was slightly disappointed. Jack Chambers, like I said, from Charleston Southern. NC State actually played Charleston mm-hmm. Southern this year. I expected Chambers to play a lot in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He played most of the fourth quarter
right.
in that game. He did throw for a touchdown, but I thought either he was a little bit nervous, or either way, maybe the defense knew him fairly well, which you would expect. I wasn't impressed with what he did mm-hmm. against his old team. In fact, I was actually more impressed with Charleston Southern's current quarterback. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wow, they had the player of the year in the league, and he left, and then they bring in another guy, and he looked pretty good. So I wasn't impressed there. I was impressed with his poise against Florida State. I thought he came in, like I said, Saturday night
yeah.
game, ranked, you know, you're in the top 25.
And you were
big
behind.
Moment. You were down. You know, I thought he acquitted himself. Now, are they going to have to complete a forward pass? Well, You know, if we talk to Paul Johnson, he'd probably tell you no. If we talk to the Army coach who Boo Corrigan hired, he'd probably tell you, nah, it's not important. Win's a win. You just got to get there and win the way that you can. You know, defensively, I think NC State, this is strength on strength for NC State. And I don't know if Sean Tucker is completely healthy for Syracuse. Uh-huh. Outstanding player. Garrett Schrader, their quarterback, has had an outstanding year.
Yeah.
So I think there are good things to happen for Syracuse, but I love the way State's defense played in the second half against Florida State.
Florida State had four punts and two interceptions.
Yeah, including the crazy punt. But I thought Drake Thomas, I thought really Isaiah Moore for the first time since the injury played like Isaiah Moore, was a difference maker. And then, of course, Peyton Wilson has really just kind of found his pandemic form. So we'll see what NC State does in this game. Now, I suspect we get a Dean Smith rule in this one. You know, when you lose your star player, the other guys usually step up and make up for it. And I think that's what will happen this week for NC State.
Do we have any idea, Joe Giglio's in studio with us, do we have any idea about how long Devin Leary's going to be out?
This is a tough one because there are no injury reports in the ACC anymore. And even when there were, they could be intentionally vague.
There's no gambling in North Carolina, so we don't need an injury report, Joe.
It has been a longstanding policy of Dave Doran to tell you when a player is out for the year. And I will take him for his word here when he has not ruled Devin Leary out for the year. Now, Devin Leary has an NFL future. Does that mean he comes back and tries to play? Is it a Peyton Wilson situation where he does have to come back and prove that he's healthy and prove that he can play? Because his performance over the first half of the season hasn't been one that's catapulting him up in the NFL draft.
Correct.
The injury, when you say there's no break, okay, the x-rays show there's no break. That doesn't mean there can't be an AC joint issue.
Sure.
That doesn't mean there can't be a pectoral issue, a back issue, a shoulder issue, a neck issue. All of those things are serious.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was Jack Chambers, who has no pro future, you wouldn't throw him back out there with a serious injury. You do have to consider Devin's pro future before you put him back out there. For those reasons, I would be stunned if we saw him before Wake Forest. Stunned. And even
that's coming up soon.
It's a month. Yeah. It's a month because they have the open date. Then they play Virginia Tech on a Thursday. Then on November 5th is Wake Forest.
So they have two open dates in a row is what you're telling me.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
The open date and then Virginia Tech.
Boy, if you would have told me that one back in 04, what the state of that program would turn into. I remember one time on the Twitters, you know, the Twitters is mostly reliable and responsible people.
Yeah, absolutely.
People. They were really mad at me when I was pointing out that Justin Fuente, like all of those players leaving that program, there's probably a personality flaw to Justin Fuente.
Players that he recruited to. Yeah.
And then one of his receivers, I can't remember. He like stood up for him and like all of these Virginia Tech fans were like, see, you're an idiot, Giglio. And then, of course, now look at the program. So that was just, I'm just waiting for them to come back to me as Victoria knows. I'm just waiting for them to come back and say, oh, you were right, Joe. I'll probably be waiting a little while for that.
I spent, I don't know how long Chip Patterson and I talked about this yesterday. Programs that I don't believe are ever coming back.
It'll be tough.
I don't believe Nebraska is ever coming back.
Oh, not to what they were, no.
But I think now.
I heard you yesterday what Chip said. They're a 7-win ceiling or an 8-win ceiling.
Yeah, I see, that's what I see. I see them as a bad version. I see them as a poor man's Minnesota. I don't see the reason. I don't see the reason to go to Nebraska. I don't. When you can go somewhere else. There's NIL money everywhere. Everywhere there's NIL money. If I'm a kid, I don't need a 94,000-seat stadium that is sold out, but there's bad football being played there. I can go somewhere where there's a 60,000-seat stadium. Like, explain to me why I wouldn't go to Kentucky over Nebraska to play football.
Well, you'll be... At Nebraska, you're the only show in town.
Right.
At Kentucky, nobody... I mean, they claim they care now, but they don't care about football.
They sell their stadium out, and you just could not convince me as an athlete unless I didn't have any other options.
You're talking to somebody who hates
go to Nebraska.
The very first college football game I ever went to was the kickoff classic where Nebraska beat Penn State, who was the team I grew up rooting for, 44-6. So I have no love lost for the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
At the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I have no love lost for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Right. But what I would say to you is, yeah, I mean, there is still something to being, you know, it's like Indiana basketball. Like, why would you go play at Indiana basketball?
I'm not sure Indiana's ever coming back to what Indiana was. Like, 100%. The one thing that Indiana basketball has for it is that the state of Indiana and high school basketball is still enormous. And if you can convince some of those best players to go to IU.
That's how Archie Miller ended up losing his job. He didn't do a good enough job recruiting in the state of Indiana.
When was the last time Indiana was good for more than 1 year in a row?
It's been a minute.
Right. And it's interesting, and this is unrelated to our conversation. We got Washington and Chicago tonight, right?
In the NFL.
In the NFL.
Yes.
Washington and Chicago
Hopefully there
tonight.
Won't be a concussion issue tonight.
It's Thursday night.
Yes.
35 years ago, this is an epic game.
Yeah.
From 1993, from 83 to 91, these two teams were two of the best four teams in the NFL for 8 years. You know how many times these two teams have had consecutive winning seasons?
Since? Zero.
Once each.
Once.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
The Bears' last consecutive winning seasons, 05 and 06. Lovie Smith, they went to the Super Bowl in 06. Washington's last consecutive winning seasons. They've had good seasons.
Right.
Like, the Bears have had a 13-win season surrounding a 5-win and a 4-win season. Or in between a 5-win and a 4-win season.
Shanahan do it for the Washington?
No. Not consecutive years, okay. Right? And I forget which year it was. Washington went 9-7 and then 8-7-1. In 96 and 97. They went 9-7 and 97, I think, the year before. The year after. It was 96, they were 9-7. 97, they were 8-7-1.
It's been a minute.
It's terrible. It's terrible how two heritage franchises in the NFL have been so bad. Quickly back to football, ACC football, or what we have, whatever we call it. Carolina going to run roughshod over Duke at Wallace Wade, and where are the losses for them in the Coastal Division?
Carolina's season feels like it comes down to three games. We got Pittsburgh.
Right.
Wake Forest.
That'll be tough, although Carolina always beats Pittsburgh.
Whatever zombie carcass of state exists by the time they play. So those three games. I believe they can go 1-2 in those three games and still win the division. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This game is a tricky one. Duke's going to fight. They just lost their first game, or the league game, Kansas. But they lost the game. They're going to fight after the loss.
Sure.
It's at home. It's under the lights. I'm not saying there's going to be a great crowd for them. I'm just saying.
Jamison Crowder can come back and catch the game-winning pass? No?
I'm just saying, I think Mike Elko, this is the type of spot a good coach has a team fight. I think they fight in this game. Carolina's starting to figure some things out. And that starts at quarterback. When you have one of those, man, everybody looks smart.
Yeah.
Everybody looks good. Just go back and tell Matt Rhule that 3 years ago, man. You got a quarterback. Everything looks good.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a quarterback then. They don't have a quarterback now. They didn't have a quarterback last year or the year before. I would argue that it isn't only the quarterback.
It's a great start, though.
So
makes your margin of error a lot wider.
But my point is this. Believe it or not, Teddy Bridgewater was better elsewhere than he was in Carolina.
Sure.
He's better in New Orleans. Didn't have to do a lot, but he was better there than he was in Carolina. Sam Darnold, I know people don't believe this, was better with the Jets than he was with the Panthers.
Sure.
Baker Mayfield was better with the Browns.
I'm disappointed in Baker Mayfield because this is an even-numbered year, and he has been outstanding in even-numbered years, and he's really bad.
Sounds like somebody who had maybe a futures. Have a ticket on Baker, do you know?
I had a ticket on the Panthers total. It was only 6.5. I thought they'd win 7 games.
Oh, gosh.
Not coming home.
Should have consulted me on that.
Well, Adam, I'm a big believer. You gotta strike out on your own. You got to own your defeats, celebrate your wins.
All right, you need to, I'm on a little bit of a, I think I lost all five yesterday.
I was listening to some of your hockey props. Did you not know the goalie was out for Columbus?
I did not know Merzlikins was out, but I was more of a bet on Columbus being sharp offensively, which they weren't.
Yeah, first period was, I had to throw my hands up in the air a little bit.
Everything between the 20s in the first period.
First period was a class. I said, this looks like a preseason game to me, and it also illustrates how awesome playoff hockey is. But it's also like the polar opposite of some of the crap we saw last night.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, I get it. It's 82 games. There's a lot to it. I get it. It's October. We're not even at Halloween yet, kid. I get it. But I'm watching the games and I'm like, remember when we were just here and how freaking awesome and how like every pass was contested and every shot, you know, people are diving and taking rubber off their gums and their back of their ears. So I love playoff hockey.
It's a different element, which is why it makes me angry when people ask the question during a September game. Or
I
not
put that on a platter for you. Right? It was perfect.
Does this game have a playoff like feel? No, it doesn't. You know why? Because it's not a playoff game. You cannot even come close to replicating that. I'm sorry to yell.
It's okay. You got me upset earlier this week, so I just figured I'd return the favor.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
Why we're here, to help each other out.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Joe Giglio.